Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm speaking to the author, Professor William Damon, Bill Damon of Stanford University. He's at the Hoover Institution. The new book, however, is the important teaching tool about how to think of your own life in reflection. You don't have to be a senior figure such as Bill and myself. We're lucky enough to get here, but it helps. It helps a deal because you can laugh about yourself. However, the book takes us into some major theory that's been developed these last decades that I did not know, Bill, and I thank you for teaching me this. Let's do some definitions here. What is a life review? I believe Robert Butler is the man who identified the needs for this. What does it mean? What does it do for one?
Right. And Robert Butler was a legendary psychiatrist. He died in 2007. He was the first director of the National Institute of Aging and a Pulitzer Prize winning author about aging. And he developed a method that I adopted, which is a way of going back into your past in an intentional manner. We all go back into our past all the time. We always tell stories about ourselves, life stories of all kinds, but we usually do it in a random kind of haphazard way. And that doesn't always work for dealing with regrets, answering questions about how did I really make a choice that defined my life, and even more importantly, thinking about what comes next. What were the high points of our lives that we want to build upon for the future? And what are the parts that we just need to think about as regrets and learn our lesson from them and not go back there again? And the past is very important in our life. I quote Faulkner, who said famously, "The past is not dead. It is not even past." And that's really true. The past is who we are. It's our present. And also dealing with the past in the right way helps us deal with the future, helps us create our future. And that's what a life review can do. It is a systematic way of examining your own past, your parents' lives, your ancestors' lives, and trying to understand what the choice points were. What were the times when you were influenced by somebody else? What were the times when you made your own choice? What happened when those choices turned out well? What can we benefit from when we decide that a choice didn't turn out well? And how can we learn from it? Or how can we even find the positive side of something that looked like it might have been a mistake? So a life review is a way to systematically go back and try to create a positive narrative about your life that will lead a hopeful, optimistic way future and purposeful way. I emphasize purpose a lot. And what are your purposes in life and what will your purposes be when you make the right choices, the purposes in your future?
It is 1951, occupied Germany, the depths of the Cold War, and now the Korean War. The young Philip Damon Jr., who has not gone home, is now in the midst of what you'd have to say, a great deal of fun. He's a lighthearted young man in occupied Germany, able to travel to Paris, to London, to Berlin. He can move back and forth. And he meets a couple, the Warners, who are also in service of the U.S. Information Service, U.S. Information Agency. And he's introduced by Mrs. Warner to a ballerina. And thus begins Philip Damon's second life, second family. Who is the ballerina and what does he learn from her? And does it change him, Bill?
Oh, I think so. It's Geneviève L'Espagnol was her name. And she was the prime ballerina in a Jean Cocteau ballet. And he met her in the course, going backstage after the ballet, and fell in love with her. And that was his second wife. And he and her had daughters who are now my treasured half sisters. So that was one of the great benefits of my doing the life review and discovering all of this. And I think my father, she was a wonderful wife to my father. And I think that my father's life, I think, as I characterized it through the research, was a maturing from a time in his life early when he was very irresponsible. He was a very poor student. He never did his work. He shirked his responsibilities. Of course, when he abandoned my mother and me, that was an enormous act of irresponsibility that I had to do some work to forgive him for. And in his military career, he discovered, I think, how important it is to be responsible. And he even became, I think, committed and courageous and patriotic in a very positive way. And then in his second marriage, he became finally a dedicated and good family man. But this, as you said, when he was a young man, he was carefree. He had no filters, as Isa Warner described him. He was a lot of fun to be with, but he was not a paragon of responsibility. It took a while. It took some maturing for him to get there. And the military played a role, and his second wife played a role.
He did not, at any point in the remarks that you accumulate, from 45, 46 to 48 to 51, he did never pretended you didn't exist. He would tell his colleagues that he was married or had been married and had a son. So he knew you were there, but there was no communication to your knowledge. Now, with his second wife, Genevieve, they have three daughters, and they moved to Thailand and are immediately embraced by the king and queen. So they have an experience in Thailand that is extraordinary. And they're no way pressed for income. Your father earns a very good salary, U.S. Army salary, but certainly I have here at November 1949, he was given a raise to $5,370, which is a lot of dollars in Asia in 1954 when he arrives there. And he's in Asia for 10 years. He doesn't communicate with you. But years later, you get a letter, I think when you're in college, from one of his daughters. Is that correct? I can't remember the date when you received that first letter.
That was actually 20 years after college, when I was about 40. And I had already had my three children and a full family. And I got a letter from somebody who claimed she was my sister. She actually was. But I didn't want to have much to... I answered it politely with a postcard and then let it drop. Because it was, I wasn't ready to think about my father. And also, I, at that time, thought he was just a scoundrel, a no-account scoundrel who had abandoned my mother. I was very protective to my mother. I figured he hurt her very badly. And I wasn't ready to forgive him. So I kind of shut that communication down. And as I said, it took me until I was in my 60s and my own daughter got interested in the story. It took me that long to get past it and to be ready to then learn enough about him, respecting him and finally forgiving him.
Yes, the letter you received from one of your half-sisters, she passes away, so we do not have more of her testimony, nor do we have more detail about what she learned about you from Philip. But you do have this one remark from Lawen and Somali, your other two half-sisters.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's an odd remark. They remember your father when they talk to him about you. The quote is, "We don't speak of William here."
Yes.
And again, memory fools, Bill. Memory fools. What do they say of that now? What do they say of your memory, of their memory of Philip saying this? And why would he have such a thing? Where does it come from?
Yeah, I think by that time, he was not willing to disrupt his own emotional state by feeling guilty about abandoning his first son. And I, in fact, remember the first time one of them told me about it. I remember the story being he slammed his hand down on the table and said, "We do not speak of William here." But later they said, no, there was no hand slamming. But I'm wondering about whose memory, theirs or mine, added or the dramatic flair to it. But it was clear that he didn't want to have anything to do with me. And I think that that was my resentment when I discovered the story. The reason the book is called A Round of Golf with My Father is that my big grievance that I had when I first heard later in life what he was like and that he was a great golfer was, why didn't the guy ever come around even once to teach me how to play the game, which I love, but I'm not that good at. And so finally I had an imaginary round of golf with him late in my life, pretending he was next to me on his old golf course with an old scorecard of his that I dug up from an old golf bag that one of my new cousins sent me.
Bill, it's my experience in reading too many novels, perhaps, that our wives, our daughters, our mothers, our sisters, our aunts are the keepers of the institution of the family.
Yeah, that's been my experience too.
All right, you're surrounded by them. Your father, you're surrounded by them as your father was. And the puzzle here is they must have had a coherent understanding of what was going on. Did you ever receive from your grandmother, whom you knew, who was harsh about your father, from Verna, was her younger sister, I believe, or Genevieve, or your half-sisters? Did anyone come to you and say, here's why he didn't talk to you, or here's what we think happened?
Nobody ever came to me, and I think that was part of the conspiracy of silence. I imagine they were communicating with one another and decided not to trouble little Billy with this information that might be upsetting. I don't know. As I said, that generation is not big on open communications. This was the kind of greatest generation, and they were good at toughing things out. However, when I finally went to them, by the time of my early to mid-60s, when I was at that point eager to find out about things, everyone was very welcoming and open and gracious about it, all the people still alive. And that's how I was able to tell my story. And the information in the book comes out of that. So my mother at that point was dead. My grandmother was dead. But Verna was alive, my father's younger sister, and Isa Warner, his great friend, was alive. And these are the people that told me, and Genevieve was alive, his second wife. And all of them spoke to me very openly and told me wonderful stories about him. And that's how I was able to bring him to life in my book.
The book is A Round of Golf with My Father. We will get to the round of golf in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. A New Psychology of Exploring Your Past to Make Peace with Your Present. Professor William Damon, Bill Damon of Hoover Institution and Stanford University. When we come back, Bill's other life, the intellectual life of an educator. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.